from Connect FM. This is Under Review, your weekly deep dive into the world of sports with Bob Anderson, Dave Glass, and Dave Herzing.
Mike McCarthy will be the next head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Is he the right guy for the job? And what does his hiring mean for the immediate future of the franchise? We'll discuss.
The Seahawks and Patriots will square off in Super Bowl 60. We'll look back at the biggest stories of the games yesterday.
The Penguins are one of the biggest surprises in the NHL this season. Should they be buyers at the trade deadline? And will they sign Malkin for another year? We'll discuss and talk to Seth Rohrbach from the Pittsburgh Tribune Review for his take. I'm Dave Glass.
I'm Bob Anderson.
And I'm Dave Herzing. Stay tuned as we discuss these topics and more as we go Under Review.
Sponsored by Fatula Eye Care and the Falls Creek Eagles.
On Connect FM, your only local news radio.
Welcome to Under Review for Wednesday, January 28th. We are actually recording early this week on Monday, so keep that in mind if any breaking news comes. But I see you guys dug out and are here, and it's good to be with you.
Oh, yeah, buddy. A lot of work, a lot of snow blowing, a lot of shoveling, but winter wonderland. At least it stopped snowing.
Yeah, how about it? The piles around my house were almost as tall as me in some places.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, so what's the strategy for you guys? I know that you mentioned about not doing the same real estate twice. Dave, I wasn't sure exactly what that means.
Well, you know, why would you want to go out and do it like six different times, right? So the original plan was to do it yesterday, right before dark, and then again this morning, because there's no way to get away doing it twice when it's this much snow. But certain people, not my wife, decided that we needed to do it at like 2. So I ended up doing it 2 and then at 5 and then this morning, which... whatever.
Yeah, I do it in waves. It's just easier that way. I let it 3-4 inches... get it and then come back in, do it again.
Yep.
It's just a lot easier that way. And we have two dogs, so I got to make sure they have a place to do their business and get off the porch and everything else. But what I said to my kids, my son's 13, Darren, and my daughter Charlotte's 11. I told them, I said, you guys have never seen snow like this around
here.
Same
with our kids.
Not once.
This I can't remember one like this for a long time.
It's been a while. Would they say like 15 or 16 years, I thought?
Well, we had one... I want to say 6 or 7 years ago where my weather stick got up to like 17 inches on it. Now it was over a weekend, which made it a little bit easier, but
yeah. How many did we end up with, you know?
I think 15 to 16 inch. Okay.
Yeah, they actually said on the news, Dubois reported it 19 inches.
Okay, and I saw New Bethlehem at like 23 inches. That was the most in the nation, I think.
Yeah, which is crazy.
The problem was the wind was blowing so hard that it was really hard to get an accurate read because it was blowing and drifting. And plus, there was already snow down, so you couldn't really go in your yard unless you'd already cleared a spot off.
That's true.
Well, I looked like I just came from Hoth, Dave, so my beard was literally, I had snow in my eyebrows.
You're like a mountain man.
I did look like a mountain man. It was crazy.
Go back to Utah. You know, you'd be like the man.
That'd be great. I'd go back in a minute.
You know who else looks like a mountain man is Mike McCarthy.
Oh, yeah,
and
he does.
And he'll be coaching the Steelers here for at least, the next 20 years or so? So he'll be 82 when he retires. Good hire or bad hire, guys?
I'm not a fan.
I'm not a fan.
I just don't understand what the plan is. I mean, look, if there's one thing I really respected about the Steelers, it's that they hire young coaches you've never heard of, that they see a lot of potential in, and they stay here for 20 years. I mean, that's worked, right? They've had no losing seasons in the last 20 and, you know, only a handful in the last 60. So they've completely changed that. You know, it seems like, you know, and really if you take the wider lens, they took Kenny Pickett. Seemed like it was kind of because they knew him because he was from, you know, Pitt and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, that was a complete bust. And now McCarthy's a Pittsburgh guy. Is that why they picked him? Is it the Aaron Rodgers thing? I hear a lot of, you know, people refuting that wasn't really anything to do with it. But you look at the fact he coached Rodgers from, 06 to 18, and you're like, you can't help but wonder. And if that's the case, that is the most short-sighted, stupid thing I've ever heard of. And he was successful with Rodgers, and he was somewhat successful in Dallas. But, you know, he's not – he's kind of a known quantity, and I just don't get it.
Well, Dee wanted an offensive coach. You got one.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It's really surprising. He does. I mean, obviously, he won a Super Bowl. That was a long time ago. He is an offensive-minded coach. They say he can develop quarterbacks. I'd love to see it. I just don't know why in the world you would hire a 62-year-old guy as your head coach. Maybe they're going to bring in some younger coordinators. I don't really know, but I was very, very surprised that they hired him. I was hoping that Shula would be the hire.
He didn't get an interview, to my knowledge.
Which, that is insane to me.
And they said the Shielhaus kid, like, he actually blew him away at his virtual meeting, and he doesn't get an in-person meeting. Just doesn't make sense.
It really doesn't. It's very difficult to be a Steelers fan right now. You know, we'll get to the games here in a minute. Obviously, the Seattle game and the LA game was phenomenal. But when you're watching teams like that play, it's like they're playing a different sport to what we've been watching over the past several years.
Let me ask you a question. And now this could just be the Rooneys, okay? But generally, the ownership hires a president, the president hires a GM, the GM hires the coach. And I don't know what happened here, but let's say was this Omar Khan's hire?
I don't think so. I think this is Art Rooney's.
I think this was all the Rooney. I mean, because the Pittsburgh media is saying it's pretty much Rooney.
Well, maybe that's true. But if you're Omar Khan and the pressure's on you because your drafts have been iffy, wouldn't you want the quick fix? And I don't like that. I'm not defending it, but it's the only thing that makes any sense to me.
And I agree with you, Dave. I've defended Omar Khan, but if this was his hire, he needs to go.
Yeah.
I mean, he needed to go before this hire, if that was the case. My question is, does this mean Aaron Rodgers is going to be back? You guys, who's going to be the quarterback of the Steelers?
You know what? It honestly, Bob, it wouldn't surprise me at all if Rodgers came back. And listen, statistically, if you look at Rodgers' season, it wasn't horrendous. It wasn't like he had some bust of a season and he was a hot mess. He didn't have a number two wide receiver, which really hurt him. The play calling from Smith was what's happening. I mean, you're watching those games and it was like scripted. Fans knew what was coming before. I don't know, but I don't think Rodgers being back would be horrible, but it's not going to help them move the needle moving forward. You look at what New England did. They had two down years.
Yep. Two, and then 4-13 seasons.
And then what? Then look at them now.
That's the thing the Steelers will not tolerate.
I don't understand it.
And to your point though, Even conceding that I was wrong and that Rodgers had a better season and certainly a healthier season than I expected, I didn't think he'd make it into the playoffs. You want to roll those dice again with him being even older? And by the way, even if he has the exact same season next year, when you look at this roster, do you think it's really a contender?
No. Oh,
is
no.
the goal to win one stinking playoff game?
I think it is right now. That's so ridiculous. Desperate to win one playoff game.
It's terrible.
Because, I mean, okay, look, even if you bring him back, and even if you do win that playoff game, he's certainly going to retire after next year. Yeah, I mean, come on, guys. Yep. He's 40, going to be 43. And you don't know anymore then. It's time to know what you have.
Yeah,
we
absolutely.
Don't know what we have.
I would much rather roll the dice with Will Howard. And if you do have a bad season with him, then you get that
early pick. Or draft somebody.
Pick.
Ty
Simpson.
Got to do something.
It's really frustrating. I'll tell you what, not because I like Penn State. A lot of articles, some friends of mine have been sending me about Aller.
Yeah.
A third-round pick for Drew Aller, that's...
They got a couple of them, I think.
Yeah, come on. I mean, you look at the intangibles that Aller has... Why not take a shot with him? I mean, you look at how he was set up at Penn State. Obviously he folded in huge positions, but
he's used to not having receivers. So
absolutely.
You blitz him and his footwork goes to hell.
You know, look, the Steelers right now are very frustrating. The fan base, it's funny when you listen to the fan or you read a lot of the articles or the comments on Facebook or X or whatever. The Steelers fan base are losing their minds about this McCarthy hire, and I don't blame them.
No,
it's hard to get this country united around anything or this state.
Yeah.
And I can't find anybody giving a full-throated defense of this. I hear a few people like, well, if he's kind of squint, you can see it. But nobody's like, oh, this is a great hire.
Yeah,
not one person has said that.
Very underwhelming. Let's talk about the two games yesterday. Two total opposite games.
Oh, no doubt.
So we had the Patriots winning 10-7 against Denver. Just your thoughts on this game first.
It was the one big mistake. The backup quarterback comes in. I still believe Denver had the better roster, except, with the quarterback situation. And all he had to do was not make the one big mistake, and he made it. And I do want to get into this. We talked about it on our text group. I don't think Sean Payton set him up to succeed. He should have taken those points. And I said that. It's not second guessing. I said it at the time. It's like this game sets up to be a 14-10, 17-13 game. You can't say no to 3 points.
No, absolutely
not. You can't say
no
to 3 points. And those ended up being huge. And then he's doing all these weird swing, you know, screen passes and putting him in weird reads. And I'm like, keep it simple. Max protect. Send three guys down. If nobody's open, they neither scramble or throw it away. You can't make it this complex for him.
No, not at all. I thought the play calling on Denver's side was awful. Especially as the game wore on, it was funny. They mentioned it about 1,000 times, but they were right. I've never seen a game go from really good weather to, you know, frozen tundra in like
a half a quarter. Yeah,
it was really crazy.
Yeah.
Those 3 points,
coming,
yeah, that you're right. That those 3 points were backbreakers. I'm watching that. I'm like, what in the world are they doing? It wasn't like they were playing the Rams. It wasn't like they were playing, you know, some high powered offense. Get the points, for God's sake. Let your defense maybe get a turnover or two.
And by the way, the defense played out of their minds. I mean, the 7 they gave up wasn't even on them. It was that weird, wacky turnover.
Yep.
They held them to like 220 yards. That was a great, great defensive performance. Now, turn it around. It was also a great defensive performance for New England. They did what they needed to do. And I thought Vrabel coached a fantastic second half. He's like, we're not going to make mistakes. We're going to trust our defense and trust that this guy can't beat us. And he was 100% right.
Well, yeah. I saw a stat. They said New England's the first team in NFL history to beat 3 of the top 5 defenses to get to the Super Bowl. I really and truthfully, you know, I think they got a lot, not a little luck. I think they got a lot of luck.
They had a great schedule.
Yeah. Yeah. Denver, if
that's about to end.
Yes. Yeah. Really? Look, I mean, we'll save that. Yeah, segue to the Seattle game, though. Shout out to Lonnie, though, by the way. Pacific Northwest, they looked fantastic. Stafford gave them every single chance to win that game. And for whatever reason, that Rams defense couldn't stop Seattle. But Stafford looked fantastic against the best defense in football. That was a heck of a game to watch.
Yeah, I love Matthew Stafford. I mean, would have you guys taken the points there at the end? Would have made it 31-30. There's a lot of second guessing about that.
Yeah, I think I would have went for it there.
See, it's a different situation because, you know, in that 10-7 game, points were at a premium. This game, it's like if you don't score touchdowns, you're falling behind. You're falling behind, and you've got these two, you know, I'm going to say it. Sam Darnold has shown me he's a top 10 quarterback. So you've got these two really good, maybe great quarterbacks.
He was the story.
Yeah. Yeah. They threw everything they could at him, and he never folded. And it really, we said before we came on the air, you weren't here yet, D, but it was that muffed punt. That was the difference in the game. No question about it. That's just a backbreaker.
And if you're falling down like that, the worst thing, just get out of the way. Don't try to catch it from your backside.
Yeah, it was weird. Like, you could see him. He's looking. I'm like, what's he doing? That was a crazy play.
For about 3 seconds. Like, yeah. Oh no, this is going to be bad.
Do you have any friends messaged me yesterday and people that hate the Steelers as well? Guys I work with, you know, it's my job, I do a lot of running around and different guys from different states, and they're banging on me for, you know, the Steelers, he would have looked pretty good in black and gold. I'm like, oh, shut up.
Are you talking about Darnold?
Yeah.
You know, they would have screwed him up.
Yeah.
They would have made him a game manager and he wouldn't have anybody to throw. I mean, JSN is open on every play.
Yeah.
Every play.
Wow, what a player.
And really, that is the difference. Those are two great offensive-minded coaches who had great game plans against elite defenses, and we haven't seen anything like that in years.
No, it's been a long time.
Much different brand of football. All right, it's time to get to a break. When we return, we're going to talk to Seth Rorabaugh from the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. You're listening to Under Review on Connect FM.
Let's get back to the action. You're listening to Under Review with Bob Anderson, Dave Glass, and Dave Herzing on Connect FM.
Welcome back to Under Review. The Penguins are returning from a perfect road trip, and here to talk about it with us is Seth Rorabaugh from the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. Seth, thanks for joining us.
I appreciate you guys having me.
Well, from your standpoint, how did the Penguins do it? A perfect 4-0 trip. What went right for them?
Well, they got contributions from a lot of guys on the lineup, and that's kind of been the story of their season as far as I'm concerned. I mean, you look at this lineup, and it's, the standbys are always there. You know, Sidney Crosby, Ryan Rust, you kind of know what you're going to get from those guys. But you have someone like a Justin Brazeau, who's playing probably the best NHL hockey he's ever played. Parker Wotherspoon, same case. You know, and some guys who were maybe carryovers from last year, Connor Duer. I mean, you know, we saw him a little bit last year, but now he's really kind of figured out, you know, some things on that fourth line. He's already hit a career high in goals. Ryan Shea, I think, has like 18 points in like almost, you know, 50 games here. I'm not sure anyone. I mean, 18 points for Ryan Shea over 82 games would have been a fantastic total. So, and you know, Archer Seelofs. I mean, I know that's been well documented, his struggles with shootouts, and there's some inconsistencies there. But he's again probably playing the best hockey he's ever played. So, who knows if you get these group of guys together again for another season, if that would ever happen. But they've really, I think, just in general, have gotten so many contributions from so many players, especially ones who haven't, you know, done this otherwise the NHL. And I think a lot of that kind of unfolded as it's all over the road trip.
Well, when I look at the moves that they made in the offseason, it certainly seems like the front office just, what, you know, kind of went on a real heater. I mean, you mentioned a couple of them, Brazo, let's talk about Mantha. I mean, he's really looked good. And the fact is, Seth, would you agree that it's not like they're getting lucky? Like their power play is good, their penalty kill is good, and at 5-on-5, they're more than holding their own. It's like every game, even if they do lose, it's usually either in shootout or it's a one-goal game.
Yeah, you mentioned Anthony Mantha. That might have been their quote-unquote big name that they signed in the offseason. He kind of came here damaged goods, looking for something to prove after suffering a pretty serious knee injury. So, I mean, he's a guy who's had a couple of 20 goal seasons on his resume, a former first-round pick. So, obviously some ability there, but it was coming in under less than ideal circumstances. But he's making the most of his opportunity here. But you know, as far as the overall play, there's clearly something different here with under Dan Muse, the new head coach, compared to just how stale things had gotten the last handful of years under Mike Sullivan. And that's not to say Mike Sullivan's a bad coach. It's just sometimes you need a new voice, you know, a new set of eyes looking at players and everything like that. You know, they've largely bought into what he's selling. And I know the one thing that really maybe kind of stood out to me early on in his time here was when Evgeny Malkin was talking about him, you know, maybe like the second or third day of training camp, he said, you know, no one here is like a superstar. No one here is a rookie or like a veteran. Like, we're all the same. We all have jobs to do here. And he found that approach that Dan Muse had really kind of instilled very refreshing. And you know, that was repeated by a lot of the kind of the incumbents and the veterans that were still in that room. So no, as far as their overall team game, Dan Muse has gotten their attention, and they're executing it quite well throughout the bulk of the season.
I agree. One more person I want to talk about is Chinnikov. I mean, we weren't sure what we were going to get there. I just kind of like, whatever on this deal. And you know, from the first game, I was looking, it's like, man, this guy can skate. He's got an elite shot, and he's putting it away, and he seems to have tremendous chemistry with Malkin. Has he surprised you with how quickly he's really elevated his game?
Yeah, he has. Again, I wasn't quite sure what to expect of him, as you said there, coming over from Columbus. I mean, he's very underwhelming there throughout this 5 years there. His former first-round pick, so, I mean, obviously the skill was there, just the results rarely were. So that said, I will say I'm maybe a bit hesitant to automatically, you know, assume he'll keep doing this over the rest of the season or however long he remains with the Penguins. We saw this a little bit with Philip Tomasino last year, former first-round pick with Nashville, who came over and, you know, did some things, and but it didn't really carry over to this year. And ultimately, he was traded to the Philadelphia Flyers here a couple of weeks ago, but to the naked eye, I think it's pretty apparent that Igor Chinnikov has, you know, far better skills than Phil Tomasino ever did. So, regardless, it's very promising. It's been very impressive so far. The raw ability just to shoot the puck jumps off the page at you. And he's a very good skater, and you know, clearly he's developed some chemistry with Evgeny Malkin, as you said, and you know, let's throw Tommy Novak in there as well. Who's serving as the center of that line. So, they kind of took a bit of a gamble, I would say, on, you know, dealing away a couple of the draft picks they've built up here over the years to bring in Chinnikov. But it's paid off so far. And if nothing else, they finally have someone who's competent in the shootout. I, you know, mm-hmm. As funny as it is to point out, he leads them in shootout goals so far this year. which probably says more about their struggles in shootouts than anything else. But no, so far so good with Igor Chinnikov.
Hey, Seth, taking it off the ice for a second, I wanted to highlight something. Before we came on here to record, I really enjoyed the article that just on Trib Live about Katanning native Scott Williams painting the Pens goalies' masks. I don't know. I think our listeners would enjoy hearing about that. I really enjoyed reading the article. You did a great job with that.
Oh, I appreciate that. I appreciate that you saying that. That was very kind. That was something he had reached out to me maybe back in November when like one of their practice goalies was wearing a Jeff Sewick, I think is the name. It was wearing a Johan Hedberg, I guess, themed mask, you know, the old iconic blue moose mask.
Oh, yeah.
I posted a picture of it, and he reached out to me and said, hey, that's mine. I'm like, really? Okay. And then we got to talking, and he's like, yeah, I'm paying Artur Seelof's mask too. Really? And I said, hey, maybe at some point here when I have some free time, we can do a story. And I just, you know, okay. And then, like, you know, a lot of things happened with the Penguins being for sale and the Tristan Jarry trade. And it just, I almost kind of forgot about it. Then he messaged me again. It's like, yeah, I did Jeff Skinner's mask too. I'm like, really? I said, hey, man, let me contact you here on this date and we'll talk. And we just chatted and he kind of got into his whole, you know, his whole history there. I mean, he's not really formally trained or anything like that with, you know, art or design. It's just something he kind of did in his free time. He had an airbrush kit and he was, you know, fooling around with it. And he kind of one day did a goalie mask for his daughter plays hockey and her teammate's a goalie. And, you know, the father asked me, hey, should I try painting this? He's like, yeah, sure. And he gave it a try and it turned out pretty well. And he started doing it for a lot of, like, you know, local youth teams, high school kids, college kids, things like that. And built up a bit of a following on Instagram and Facebook. And I guess I got the attention of John Taglianetti, the Penguins equipment manager. He messaged him one day about doing some other gear, and that kind of graduated into doing things for Mike Chiasson, who's their practice goalie. And he did such a great job with Mike Chiasson's mask that eventually it instilled the faith, I guess, and then to reach out to him for Seelof's and Skinner. So, and this has kind of taken off here this year for him. So it's a part-time thing for him. He has a full-time job otherwise, but he kind of does this in his garage, and it's a really, you know, really neat story. I was grateful for him to give me the time, the insight to kind of tell the story, but. No, it's just a fun story that the guy from Katanning, without really any formal training, has put together some masterpieces here for the Penguins.
Yeah, hey, I'll tell you, I really enjoyed reading it. You don't see a lot of stories like that surrounding the NHL, so great job on that. I'd encourage all of our listeners to read that as well and check out Seth on Trib Live or on X.
Yeah, Seth, I wanted to ask you about the trade deadline because, of course, I think, you know, the Penguins playing so well, it probably really puts a conundrum in Kyle Dubas's plans. I don't think he had planned to be a buyer here at the deadline, but I almost feel like the Penguins are forcing him into it. Do you think that they'll actually go out and get somebody, or do you think they'll just stand pat?
I don't think they'll stand pat. At the same time, so I don't know that they'll go out and, you know, try to make a major trade. Or at least, you know, pursue it aggressively. You know, I could see them almost like, you know, trying to fill up maybe the bottom end of the roster. Maybe just try to get an extra forward. I mean, if you could find a better forward to be your 13th forward than, say, Kevin Hayes, I don't think that's a overwhelming task. You could probably find a 14th, 15th, 16th forward to be better than Kevin Hayes, frankly. And hey, I mean, if you need to find a fifth, sixth defenseman, you know, right now we see Jack St. Ivey might be out for a little bit here after suffering injury Sunday in Vancouver. That's something they might pursue. So, at the very least, I think Kyle Dubas will try to fill out, you know, maybe some of the bottom ends of the roster. I don't know that he'll be going after any of the big names out there. And that said, I mean, Kyle Dubas is pretty good at, you know, masking a lot of his intentions or his plans there. You know, the Igor Chinnikov trade, really no one knew about it until the Penguins announced it. So, and the one thing that maybe does make me hesitant to fully say he absolutely will not, you know, go out and get anyone big is, you know, when the weeks leading up to the Jake Guentzel trade, the months really. I mean, he kind of just said, "Hey, this team, you know, this team can still make the playoffs. We'll give them every chance to do it." And ultimately, they didn't do it, and they pulled the trade on the Jake Guentzel trade, sending him to Carolina, getting back some prospects. I imagine the same would apply in reverse. If this team can solidify its case to be a playoff team as March 7th, I think that's the deadline this year, as March 7th approaches, I think Kyle Dubas will give them every opportunity to prove that, you know, they deserve to maybe add some pieces. Again, it might just be, you know, guys at the bottom end of the roster, but I think Kyle Dubas will look at this very, you know, fairly, evaluate it very fairly, and give this group of players every chance to prove that they deserve to add players, with, you know, regardless of their abilities or skills, when March 7th arrives.
Seth, always a pleasure to catch up with you. Thanks so much for taking the time.
I appreciate the invitation, guys. Be well.
You too. Under Review continues right after these messages.
You're listening to Under Review Sports Talk. More takes, more talk, more sports. Let's go back to the guys.
Welcome back to Under Review, and this segment is sponsored by Fatul Eye Care. Reach out to Dr. Dan and his team for all your eye care needs. Let's pick up with the Penguins talk there, guys. I was really impressed with that road trip. I mean, to me, the biggest surprise of all was the Edmonton victory. And last night, Sunday night, they did almost blow it there in the third period. Stuart Skinner had to make that beautiful save that looked like Fleury-esque
in 2009.
Again.
I about had a heart attack. I was like, oh, my God. And then he dove across the crease. I was like, woo.
But they found a way to do it again. Are they ever going to lose again here, Dave?
I think they're actually going to lose Thursday.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's hard coming back from
coming back
trips.
From a long road trip. Yeah. And I have this theory over a lot of years. When they're on a winning streak like this, the last game before they lose, they look shaky. They usually pull it off like this. So I just feel like that there's a lot of factors lining up that Thursday game could be a tough one. But you know what? They are playing a little bit with house money. I think everybody, myself included, of course, thought that Edmonton game they'd get run out of the building. They were on the second night of a back-to-back. Edmonton was rested. We have trouble matching up with their speed. But we come out, we get three quick ones, bing, bang, boom. And I've got to tell you, that Edmonton roster has some major problems, guys. The top of their lineup is as good as anybody.
But yeah, boy, my buddy Jari.
That game wasn't on Jari. They did not do anything to help him there.
True, but three shots, three goals, right?
Well, nobody's going to stop that Crosby goal.
No, deflection he had was unbelievable. Speaking of goaltending, the NHL put out a stat last night. Skinner's last eight starts, 7-1, 1.63 goals against, and 934 save percentage.
That's a win. That's a win of a trade.
I did not see that coming.
No, no one. I mean how could you?
He's steady.
Yeah, but he's just so boring in there. But somehow he makes it say, hey, boring's good.
I like
though.
Boring. The boring works.
Yeah.
He doesn't flop around. He's not an electric type of goaltender. He stays in the crease. He comes out when he's supposed to come out. I mean,
he reminds me of is Matt Murray.
Hmm. Murray was good for a couple. You're right.
But when Murray didn't have highs and lows, Murray was like almost every game it was kind of the same thing. Fleury, you could get a 50 save shutout with, you know, stopping six breakaways, or he could get run out of the building. Most of the time, the former, right? I mean, he's a Hall of Fame goalie, but we know Fleury, you know, and I love Fleury, but he had a few seasons where you're like, oh, buddy, I don't know what's going on here.
I'm almost disappointed to see this Olympic break coming up because they're just on a really good run here.
I think it's going to be really good for part of their roster. I think it's going to be great for Malkin. I know we've talked about the load management thing and the NHL doesn't really do it, but he's a guy, I think, at this stage playing 60 games, the equivalent of 60 games is better for him, and getting that 3 weeks off because Russia isn't going is really good. Sid has said he's the other way. He plays worse when he has 3 or 4 or 5 days. So I think him being part of that and getting the work. But I we'll see. Carlson's the one that worries me because he's already kind of dinged up. But I think it'll help Letang. So I really think it's coming at a good time because the schedule is soft right up until the break, and then March is just killer. There's so many games, and we play Carolina like 3 times in 10 days or something. So, but I like where they're at. The standings are so compressed that if they lose 8 in a row, they'll be out of it just like that. They can't afford to get off the gas, but I think they have a really good chance now.
I the way they're constituted right now, I can't see them having another losing streak like they did towards. They had that amazing start to the season, then they tanked. I don't see that happening. I was just talking off the air with you guys. They're now plus 120 to make the playoffs. The NHL statistics site that I go on has them at 64% to get in the first round. They have a 2% chance of winning the cup. So they didn't have that. Down. They didn't have that last week. Yeah. I don't. Obviously, there's a lot better hockey teams out there, but the Pens right now.
Not many in the East.
Though. Not many in the East. That's exactly right.
Nobody really scares you.
No.
Tampa's the best East team, I think. Okay. And but Buffalo is starting to put it together.
Who would have thought that? Buffalo. Yeah. I mean, dear Lord.
In the Metro, if they stay in that 2 or 3 hole in the Metro, they're going to get probably the Islanders and then almost certainly Carolina. Now, Carolina's a tough matchup, but they don't. It's not like, oh my goodness, we can't beat Carolina.
That's the thing. They can skate with anybody. And they don't look slow this year.
No, they look so much different this year.
Well, and I know Vancouver's bad. And I know that Vancouver had a big push in the third. But those first two periods, I'm looking at them like, man, Vancouver looks like we did last year. I was saying that the whole time. It's like they're giving up these odd man breaks. They're not good at defensive coverage. And by the way, they're full of ex-Penguins, so maybe that's why. But
it took all the hand-me-downs.
I really felt like I was watching last year's Penguins. And they made the push at the end, but they came up short. And I'm like, yeah, Penguins.
Well, I got to ask you this, Dave. Should they bring Malkin back? I know your thoughts on this before. Have you changed them?
We're going to, this is going to feed right into something I have in the next segment. So just put a pin in that piece. Can, but right. I feel the same way. I'm a big fan of general managers who say, I would rather trade a player a year too early than a year too late. Okay. That was Branch Rickey said that all the time. And he did that and he won. There is no place for sentiment in the general manager's chair. I love Geno Malkin. I have 2 Malkin jerseys. And yeah, this is a wonderful story, and I'm so happy for him. And you know what? He should, if we make the playoffs, and even if, especially if we win a round, he should just ride off into the sunset. He'll get his name up on, retired here, his number retired in a year or two. Why would you want to come back and potentially have a year where you play like 40 games and score 5 goals or something?
I think it's really fueled him this year, though. I think he's got something to prove, and he wants to come back.
Father Time's undefeated. That's all I'm saying. We keep taking these chances across all sports on older players, and it burns you more often than not.
I don't think it would cost him a lot either.
No, it won't. No. But here's the thing. Because it's the same thing with Letang. It's not the money. It's the name. You can't bench Geno Malkin. No. So if he's here, he's going to play on the top power play, and he's going to be the center of the second line, whether he deserves it or not. Just like Letang was still getting 20 minutes a game that whole 2-month period where he was horrible. So that's my problem. It's not the money. They're going to have tons of. They got more money to know what to do with than the cap. The cap isn't even an issue. And again, I'm kind of giving away, but we're going to have this discussion again about McCutcheon here in about 10 minutes because it's the same situation for the Pirates.
I just looked. His goal differential, 71%. It's one of the highest in the NHL. It's the highest on the Penguins. He looks like a different player this year.
Yeah.
Just certainly looks faster. Oh my God. I don't know what he did in the offseason, but he certainly didn't look like this last year. If you have a player like that, how in the world do you not bring him back, on a 1-year deal, maybe put incentives in it? I'm not a contract guru, but I can tell you right now, I don't watch as much hockey as you guys, but I watch a lot of the Pens. I think they're better with him. I really
certainly
do.
Certainly this year.
It
actually scared me a little bit because
not everyone's Crosby, right?
No,
I mean,
you don't age like that.
No, I mean, for God's sake, ESPN briefly mentioned Crosby the other day. There was a segment they were talking about LeBron, and they were asking, modern athletes, and then I forget who brought it up, was like maybe Sidney Crosby, and then that was that. But it's true. Crosby's 1 in a billion player. Malkin right now looks as good as any second liner out there, that is a veteran second liner, I should say, in the NHL. He's playing out of his mind.
Well, I mentioned to Seth there about the trade deadline, and I wanted to get your take on it, guys. The one name that intrigues me is Jason Robertson, who
they're never going to trade him.
That's the thing, though, but they can't keep him long term, so they're just going
to
let him
go. They're
going
to try to win the cup.
Okay.
And if they lose him, they cannot possibly trade. That would be like us trading Crosby when in the middle of being a Stanley Cup contender. Look, I would love it. If they do it, we should be first in line. We've got all these draft picks, and we should give them anything they want for him, basically, within reason. But no, in the summer times when we're going to go after Robertson, I would be shocked more than anything we've talked about this whole year if they were actually put Robertson on the block during the season.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't know.
There's been some crazy things that have happened, yeah, that's for sure.
The NHL, of all the leagues, the trades in the NHL, nothing surprises me in that league.
When has somebody traded somebody who's that your leading scorer on the second or third best team in the league? Mm-hmm. I mean, really?
It's like a Micah Parsons situation for the NHL.
Except
you just don't
give
up on those guys.
Yeah, that's
the same city. Anyway.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you're right.
Look, if Dallas was like struggling at the bottom of the playoffs, absolutely they would do that. 100%.
What would they get for? I mean, what could you get for him?
I think
your price.
Up a first rounder, and you probably have to give up Rust or Raquel, and maybe a McGroarty or a Koivunen or something like that.
It's not Rust or Raquel. It's going to probably be Kendall.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably what they
want. If they're going to do this, they want young, controllable talent.
He scored his
talent.
First goal in front of his family and friends.
That was a great story.
Yeah.
How many
cool
tickets did he buy? Like 100?
There's like 100 and some. Yeah, like almost 200 tickets.
Okay, so do the math on that. You figure it's about, what, $100 a seat at least?
Yeah.
They're up in the nice seats, so that's probably way more than
but
that.
But he's making a lot of money, dude.
I mean, yeah, but he's on a rookie contract, so he probably dropped 25,000, 30,000.
Let's ask Bob Anderson, who puts 100 people together to do groups.
Yeah, that's right. The Dubois crew. Come on.
We're in the cheap.
You're still there.
All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on it. But I think if you're Kyle Dubas, this does complicate your job a little bit. I think they had planned all along they're going to trade at the deadline and you know, get some assets.
Well, they certainly can't trade, you know, the Raquels or the Rusts or those people. I mean, because, you know, for the same reason you can't trade Robertson. You've got a chance here. Now you owe it to this roster to take a run. For me, taking a run actually would be standing pat. I mean, I'm with Rorabaugh, you know, on Hayes. Hey, you know, I think every time Hayes steps out there, he's a problem.
They got him for the second round pick.
So I don't care about him, but except for depth guys where you're trading a fourth round pick for it, I wouldn't mess with any of these four lines.
No,
who are you gonna move?
No, you're right. The chemistry right now. They've tried to do that in the past where they've tinkered with things, you know, all the different general managers, you know, back, you know, when they were, you know, really making runs and when HBK lines and all that stuff. Look, chemistry in the NHL is so important.
It's huge.
Yeah, once you start messing with that, forget it. Yep. And right now this team looks as good as almost any team in the NHL. I mean, they are flying.
Any team in the East.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll see what happens.
I wouldn't touch them. Plus, you've got all these, you want to keep these draft picks that they've got over the next 3 years. Number one, we want more prospects. We want to keep this flow going. And number two, they are going to have to make a big splash because you can't usually draft your way late in the first round to stardom. They're going to have to go get a Robertson or somebody like that. They're going to have the capital to do it.
I'll tell you what's really nice is all that talk about sending Crosby to a cup contender. That's gone out of the window.
No, he's just pretty nice. For him.
Yeah.
Boy, I got to say, though, Kyle Dubas is on some kind of heater right now. So.
Executive of the year.
Yeah, whatever he's doing, just keep on doing it. We're going to get to a break. When we come back, we'll hit on some other topics that caught our attention this week. You're listening to Under Review on Connect FM, sponsored by Petula Eye Care.
Let's get back to the action. You're listening to Under Review with Bob Anderson, Dave Glass, and Dave Herzing on Connect FM.
Welcome back to Under Review. This hour is flying right by, and we'd like to thank our sponsors again. We got Fatula Eye Care, and this segment is sponsored by the Falls Creek Eagles. So, Dave, I know you got a couple topics there you want to talk about. Let's hit the first one.
Well, I kind of spoiled it a little bit, so let's talk about this McCutchen thing. McCutchen took to social media to decry the fact that he wasn't part of the Pirates, you know, winter caravan, and that, you know, he deserves to be treated better than this, and he deserves a chance to have, you know, a big goodbye, and basically lobbying for a roster spot. And my answer to that is very similar to my Malkin, only the fact is that McCutchen is coming off a worse year. He basically is just a DH now. He played a handful games in the outfield, but he played 120 in a DH and did that the year before too. So he jams up your lineup. It's not like he's flexible in any way. And now he's a below average hitter. He hit .239 with no power whatsoever. And he's 39 years old. And so what value does that have? You know, when you're rebuilding, that's fine. Let's run Andrew McCutchen out there and let think about old times and get fans in the seats. They're going to try to win this year. And if you're trying to win, the general manager has no place for just hangers-on and stuff like this. And you know, if he's offended that he didn't get the maybe he should have announced his retirement last year. That is not the general manager's job. So I actually am kind of frustrated that he did that, because he's making it about him instead of what's best for the franchise.
Look, Kutch's time has passed in Pittsburgh. He's done such a wonderful job being a representative of the Pittsburgh Pirates. All of us watched him when he was in Altoona, when he was in Indianapolis. You know, made a splash, MVP for the Pirates, one of the best Pittsburgh Pirates to ever put on the uniform. Has done so much for the city. Step aside, Kutch. I don't see what he's going to offer on a team who they're saying their goal is to win. Right? At Pirate Fest, I mean, they're up there talking, you know, the goal is to win, period. We want the fans to hold us accountable. The first step in that should be, you know, not bringing Kutch back. Again, he had a nice year last year.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it a nice year. It was a year.
Yeah, that's fair. That's very
better than we probably expected.
Yeah, but I mean, I just don't see it. They're going to win with pitching. They're going to make, I hope, bigger splash or some sort of splash at the deadline. I truly think they will be in contention with that staff. Jones will be back. Skeens, you got a Cy Young winner coming back. I don't see any regression in him at all. They have a window to win. Kutch shouldn't be a part of that.
And how many children does he have now?
Five or six?
Five,
maybe
yeah.
That's
yeah.
why he wants out of the house.
Well, yeah, that's true.
But yeah, no. Be that as it may, look, he deserves all the accolades. He deserves to have a statue. You know, he was a big part of the resurgence. But guys, the last 7 years, he's just another guy. I mean, there's a lot of major leaguers who can do what he did, and he's not that guy even anymore.
And like you said, he doesn't play the field either.
No. Yeah, that if he did play the field, maybe. But
maybe he's a fourth outfielder. But yeah, if he's not playing the field, then he's.
That's right. He doesn't bring a lot of value.
Over to you, D.
I just, you know, you guys always talked about how you pointed out last year, and it was a really good thing about how the NBA is always at the forefront of mixing things up. I don't know if you guys heard about the All-Star format. I know All-Star games, Dave, you're not a real big fan of them.
Nah.
But I actually think this is pretty cool. It's the U.S. versus the world.
Oh, there you go.
Which is actually
Hockey
kind of a neat
that.
Thing. Yeah.
It's kind of like a Four Nations type
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, which I think is pretty cool. It's a round-robin tournament. There's four 12-minute games with the top two teams advance into a championship game. I don't know what your thoughts are on that. I actually think that's kind of nice to reinvigorate that All-Star game.
What are you going to do with it, though? Like, you have to have something on the line. Are they playing for something?
You know, that's a really good question. Yeah. I mean, probably like the All-Star MVP and then just
because I think, didn't they play for money when they did that for the NHL teams? I think they got like $1 million or something each or something. I can't remember what it was. You have to give the players something to play for, or else it's just.
Yeah, I just think it's cool. The fans, myself included, have been banging on the NBA All-Star game for years. You watch the All-Star games in the past, those guys would compete. They don't do that now.
Well, that's one sport that you could actually have a good All-Star game.
Well, the All-Star games years ago, the players took a lot of pride in it, the East versus West matchups. Mm-hmm. And then they just kind of got loosey-goosey. The dunk contest and all that, the skills competition, that needs to get lost forever.
I used to love that when I was a kid, though.
It was really, really was cool. And now it's just, and none of the stars compete in it, so that's the real issue. But I just wanted to bring that to you guys' attention. I thought it was a really cool thing. Again, the NBA is always trying to mix things up, and they're trying to satisfy the fan base. I think they do a really good job of that.
I agree.
Well, I wanted to ask you guys about the snow globe game last night. Do you like those games, or do you think it just ruins the quality of the game?
I think they're good as a one-off. I mean, when you're playing in Denver in January, you got to expect it, or Buffalo in January or wherever.
How
that's
about
gonna
if
happen.
It would have been in New England yesterday?
Well, same thing. But look, I would not want to watch that quality of football on a weekly basis. And that, you know, it took football back about 70 years the way they played that second half. But, you know, it's nice. Frankly, I thought it was great that you have a 10-7 game and a 31-27 game back-to-back because, it, you know, defensive struggle versus offense. So everyone small, it's fine.
Yeah, I've gone to a few snow games in my life, and they are fun as a fan when you're sitting there watching it. The snow's falling, the lights are hitting the snow. It's just an unbelievable environment. It looks great on TV, but the quality just of the game. You got the world's best athletes out there basically on ice skates, dropping passes, you know, missing tackles.
We didn't even know where the ball was.
Yeah,
which side of the field is it on?
Yeah,
right
it was.
Now?
I mean, but it is fun to watch. You know, the NFL, I think Stairway should really consider this. I don't know if they're big enough. I know the NFL does logistics and analysis for, you know, obviously hosting Super Bowls. And they are hosting the draft, so I think they could host the Super Bowl. When Acrisure gets torn down, you know, they need to put a dome there.
And a lot of these teams are, like Cleveland, they're doing a dome,
yes.
Right?
If you ever want to be considered to host the Super Bowl, you've got to have
a dome. Are we going to get to the point where Green Bay is the only open cold field left? I'm not sure it might be.
I mean, Buffalo right now, they have that new stadium that's going to be open next year. I drove past it here a couple months ago, and it's big. But second, if the roof design and everything is supposed to melt off all the snow and do all that.
It's supposed to keep it out of the stands. Yeah, the way the wind is on the field.
It's
though,
pretty crazy. Yeah. From what they were saying, I guess they had like architects from all around the world design. It was kind of a neat thing. They were talking about it on Hard Knocks.
We could talk about this for a whole segment.
Yeah, but it's really cool though. But yeah, I'm a fan of weather games as a fan. But as far as the quality of play, ugh.
It disintegrates.
It's bad for fantasy. Go ahead, Dave.
I got one other thing, and I know we don't talk about it too often, but I got to talk about Penn State wrestling because they have now become so dominant that they're actually harming the sport, I think. And I say that as the biggest wrestling fan here, one of the biggest ones around. Guys, this year, they're 11-0. They have outscored their opponents 480-19. Oof. And it's not like they're playing scrubs. They're wrestling. You know, Big Ten is the pinnacle, and they're shutting out. They've got 7 shutouts. They've only given up 3 points in Big Ten action to 3 Jeez. To Iowa. They've shut out everybody else, and it's ridiculous. I mean, there's nobody within a zip code of them in terms of nobody's going to beat. They're 82 straight wins in dual meets. Nobody's going to beat them this year. They've only got 1 or 2 seniors. Nobody's going to beat them next year.
That's crazy.
Something happened this weekend. I wanted to highlight it because I've never seen it. One of our number one ranked wrestlers got down 7-1 in the first period. And that's, in most wrestling matches, that's tough to come back from. He scored 30 points in the next 2 periods. He won 31-15.
That's
by
nuts.
Technical fall.
That's
didn't even go the distance.
What happened to him? What happened to him in the furrow? What did he do? Just forget how to wrestle temporarily?
I just was like, you just don't see that.
Yeah, it's funny. Penn State wrestling is right now the single greatest college sports dynasty of all time.
100%.
It's UCLA has taken a back seat. Man, do I wish they would even remotely pay attention to PSU hoops, because on the absolute opposite side of that coin,
terrible.
Mike Rhodes, what he's done down there is essentially lit a tire fire, and just now he's sitting there watching it. He's saying he's going to figure out a way out of it. There is no way out of it. They're playing abysmal.
I watched some of them.
Abysmal basketball.
I couldn't take it. I'm like, they're not good fundamentals.
No, they're a very bad basketball program.
And they were doing pretty good there for a while.
Yes,
yeah, but everybody transferred out.
When Shrewsbury was there, they really looked pretty good. And their recruiting was decent and everything else. It's just like, oh. But when you see what they're capable of when they put finances and they hire the right people, Penn State wrestling is truly extraordinary. I wish I gave one care about wrestling. I don't. I don't know anything about the sport. I didn't wrestle in school. But I do know this. You have to tip your cap to them, because what this is the definition of greatness. There's no other way to say
it. But it's to the point, in order to be interesting, you kind of need a rival. And Iowa was that. Now we've just beaten Iowa into submission.
They're the Dodgers of wrestling.
This tells you... I listen to ESPN radio all the time. They mentioned Penn State wrestling twice when they beat Iowa. They don't ever talk about amateur wrestling, ever.
No.
Not ever. But they mentioned the dominance of Penn State. And I guess I didn't watch a second of the matches, but I guess it wasn't even close.
We should have shut them out.
Is Iowa, are they like the second best program
were ranked second or third at the time. I think they're down to fourth now. We're wrestling in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, we wrestle Ohio State, who's ranked second. We're going to pound them. I mean, they might score 10 on us.
But what's wild about that, you think about that, that's like the Dodgers beating the Yankees by 20 runs.
Yeah.
I don't know, right now, the Pistons beating OKC by 50 points. Yeah. Or what is happening in that sport?
Everybody who's not a Penn State fan hates Penn State right now. And it's like, we need something else. But I say that, kudos to Cale Sanderson. He has built the, like you say, the greatest dynasty in the history of college sports.
I remember I was in a meeting a couple of years ago talking about that, and a buddy of mine from out west was like, you know, you forget about UCLA basketball. I said, dude, I'm a hooper. I said, I know all about UCLA basketball. I said, I don't care about Penn State wrestling, but I do know, like I said a second ago, it's remarkable. Man. And it's It won't change
82 in a row.
Until he's gone.
He'll probably get it to 100.
Yeah.
Hey, anybody going to the outdoor game this weekend?
You know what? I can't. I wanted to go, but I can't. Believe me, I wanted to go. I'm just not able to.
First of all, you know I wouldn't anyway, but I got to put in a little bit of a plug here. We got Habitat for Humanity Bingo next Saturday, so I got to be there for that.
Saturday coming up?
Yeah, 31st.
What time? What time?
Doors open at 4, I believe, at the Dubois VFW.
All right, cool. That sounds like
fun,
too.
Yeah, I'll be at the Pittsburgh Airport Marriott sitting waiting to get on a flight.
You'll be looking for celebrities. It's
weird. I have a weird knack of finding people.
It's because you'll talk to anybody anytime.
Well, hey, you know what? I'm a stranger to no one. But as Lonnie says, I'm a man of the people.
There you go.
All right. Well, it is time to get lost, guys.
You know what? I'd say get lost in the snow. I mean, come on. You know, this isn't even the type of snow that kids can sled ride in. So hashtag get lost in the snow.
Well, I had one here. If this report is true, and I haven't verified it, I read it right before I came in. If Shedeur Sanders is going to the Pro Bowl, that should be the end of the Pro Bowl forever.
Just get rid of it.
What are we doing?
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to say get lost to Rick Woolen from the Seahawks, who almost cost them their season with that taunting penalty.
Oh, that was really bad.
You talk about a stupid penalty, and that would have had Lonnie probably on the floor.
Oh, buddy.
Hey, congratulations, Lonnie. Yeah. Congratulations to Turkey.
Turkey, too. It's the Turkey and Lonnie Bowl.
Yeah.
So it's going to be an epic battle. I can't wait.
Well, maybe next year Darren will have his moment in the sun.
Hey, we'll talk about it next week on Under Review. Thanks for joining us.